You are listening to the Savvy Painter Podcast, episode number 260. Hello, Savvy Painters. Today, I want to talk about a few things we do when we don't have full confidence in the work we create or in ourselves, the artist who creates it. And the reason I want to talk about this is because I see a lot of artists who don't trust themselves. They're not trusting their voice. And sometimes they're not even aware that they have one. They're not trusting their own abilities. And sometimes the way that this shows up is really subtle, or it seems like a good thing to do, but it ends up creating a feeling of helplessness and inadequacy. So I think it's really important to notice, and I want to challenge you to think about these issues a little bit differently so that you are empowered to create. So the first thing is we delegate the responsibility of our creative vision to someone or something else because we don't have confidence in our own capacity to figure things out. Sometimes we have an idea for a painting or a series of paintings, or maybe we have an idea for a big audacious project. Years ago, when I first moved to Argentina, I had an idea for a huge project. I wanted to paint my way around the country, to visit all of Argentina's 23 provinces and to paint from my experiences there. And it seemed crazy at first, but bit by bit, kind of like filling in a puzzle, I figured it out. I didn't have all the answers. In fact, I had no clue what I was going to do or how I would pull this thing off. I just knew that I wanted to do it and that I believed that I could figure it out. Anne Lamott wrote this beautifully in her book, Bird by Bird. And it's been a long time since I've read this book, so I'm paraphrasing this. I'm going completely off my memory. But the title comes from something that her father said to her brother when he was really panicked about a book report that was due the next day for school. And the report was on something like Western birds or something like that. But when her brother kind of like helplessly asked her father how he would ever be able to get this done by the next morning, her father replied, "You do it bird by bird." So Anne Lamott is a beautiful writer. My paraphrasing is not nearly as eloquent or comical. She's hilarious as she tells it. But this is a concept that I turn to often when I feel like I've taken on something really big and I'm not sure of how to do something. I don't have to know everything right now. I don't have to know everything before I start. I just have to know my next best step. And that is enough for me to do it bird by bird. The belief that I don't have to know all the answers ahead of time and that when I do need an answer, I can trust in my own ability to find it is crazy powerful. I can not know and still be absolutely confident that I will figure it out. And what's amazing about that is that knowledge reinforces itself and it creates its own upward spiral. It's like compounding interest. I don't have to wait for anyone else to help me or tell me what to do. I just decide what's my next best step, and then I take it, and then I assess from there. A lot of people think they need to know all of the hows ahead of time. But you can just decide that you don't need to know everything in advance. You don't need to know exactly how you'll do it, because the only way that you can ever know how you do it is by doing the thing. The only way you know how it can be done is to just do it. And in the meantime, and until then, until you get to that place where you've done it, all you need to focus on is what is the next best step. By doing that, you've created a result, no matter how small that result is. And when you have a result, when you have that, now you have something that you can assess, and then you can decide about your next best move. And it just keeps building off of each other. You have something to respond to. You have data. So as an example, if I don't know how to resolve a painting I'm working on, okay, obviously this is super common in our world, right? I'm working on a painting. I get to the messy middle. I get to that place where I'm not really sure what to do. A question to get myself out of my head and back onto the canvas is, what's the next best mark that I can make? Or what's the next color that I can mix? So what I'm doing here is I'm guiding myself to think about, like, what do I know about painting What do I know about line? What do I know about composition? What do I know about shape? What do I know about values? What are the things that I already know that I can use to discover what my next best move is, right? So that could be like as simple as what's the next mark? What's the next line? What's the next color? What's the next shape? And then once I've done that, once I've answered that question, taken the answer, I've taken that next step, now I have something tangible I can assess. It's not just in my head. It's something that I'm looking at on the canvas. I've made a new mark on the canvas. So now I have something to respond to, and now I can continue to repeat the process. And I know that maybe that sounds overly simplistic to some people, but in my mind, painting really is that simple. You look, you make a mark, you assess, you look again, and you make another mark. And all the while, if you put the mark in the wrong place, you're just seeing it as data, meaning you're not making it mean anything negative about you or the painting. So when I describe it that way, I think a lot of you are probably nodding your heads and thinking, yes, yes, of course, I get that. You might even do that for the most part, right? You might occasionally slip into self-judgment and say mean things to yourself, but let's just say that for the most part, you're able to just see the marks as data and to assess and keep moving. But let's up the ante a little bit. How about when the thing that you want to do is a large scale series, or the thing that you want to do is submitting your work to a show or getting into a gallery or consistently selling your work on your own? Can you trust in your capacity to figure it out and keep taking deliberate and consistent action towards that thing that you want to do, regardless of how many times a painting falls short of your expectations, or how many times your submission is not accepted, or how many galleries or collectors say no? Can you simply use that as data to decide your next step and hold space for the belief that you can and will figure it out and you can and will do that thing? Most people won't. But that's only because they haven't learned how to manage their mind and stay focused. Nobody has ever taught them. It's not something we learn in art school. In fact, it's not something that we learn in any school that I'm aware of. So figuring it out, it's trusting in your own capacity to get it done. And trusting your own capacity for getting it done is how you display self-confidence. So one of the mistakes that I see a lot of artists making is that they think there is a specific way that things should be done. Like there's this rule book somewhere, and if only they could find it, or if only somebody would share it with them, then they'd be doing great. Like if there is a book that says, this is how you do it, this is exactly how you price your painting, or this is exactly how you have a wonderful art career, or this is exactly how you finish that painting, and that whole thing worked for any artist anywhere, that would be amazing, right? That would be pretty cool to have someone else create a step-by-step, fail-proof instructions that work for your specific circumstances, where you are, and exactly like all of that. And while I'm thinking about it, let's throw a crystal ball in there too, because I think that would be pretty cool. I want to know exactly what to do, and I want to see into the future to make sure that it works and I get what I want before I invest my time in it. I think that's what a lot of artists are hoping for somehow, some way, shape, or form, right? But underneath that wish is a doubt. There's a doubt in the capacity to figure it out and get it done no matter what. And to me, that's just like a minor confusion in the thinking process. It's just like a tiny little thought error. It's not a big deal, but it creates an impact. We think that self-confidence comes from outside, or that we have to have the wisdom that comes from the experience of having done something, having done the thing. But in reality, self-confidence comes from your belief in yourself. It comes from trusting in your capacity. It comes from trusting that you can figure it out, even if you have no idea how yet. Even if all of the evidence that you will succeed at this moment is pointing in a different direction, you still believe in your capacity. Okay, so that's self-confidence. And it's different from confidence. Confidence comes from having successfully done the thing. Confidence comes from the evidence and the experience that you get from having done something over and over again, right? For example, like I am completely confident in my ability to stand up from my desk and walk across the room. I don't have to think about that at all. I've done it millions of times. Fortunately, my body is in good enough health. I have no problems with walking. I'm very grateful for that. And I can do that. I have full confidence that I can do that. Self-confidence is different. It doesn't depend on past examples. It doesn't depend on proof or evidence that I've done it before. It just depends on my belief in my capacity, in my ability to imagine, to innovate, to create something new, something I've never done before. That's what self-confidence is for, right? It's faith in myself. And from that self-confidence, we're able to take action towards something we've never done before. So if you have self-confidence, you're able to take action without needing the evidence or proof that this is the exact thing that you need to do. You just need to believe in your capacity, your ability to figure it out. You just need to believe in your determination and your grit that you will, one way or another, you'll get it done. And from that self-confidence, you create quote unquote real confidence. You create that confidence that comes from experience and the wisdom that you get from having done something before. It is a beautiful upward spiral that you create for yourself. Here's another example of what it looks like when artists don't trust in their own capacity to figure things out. I see this often in Facebook groups, and it is something that I talk about with the artists in Growth Studio. And I want to bring it up. I want to discuss this because I think it's super, super important. And I see a lot of artists who don't even realize what a disservice they're doing to themselves. So this is what I see. I see this a lot with artists who post an image for feedback, like in Facebook groups, for example, and they ask, like, what should I do with this painting? Or do you think this painting's finished? Or most often what we see is like, hey, any feedback is welcome. And the truth is, when they're asking, like, what do you think? What should I do with this painting? Or is this painting finished? They already know what to do with the painting. And they also know whether or not the painting is finished. They've just been taught not to trust their own voice. They just want someone else to tell them that it's finished or yes, this is a thing that you need to do. They don't trust their own opinion. And if you don't trust your own opinion, then of course you want somebody else to weigh in. You want that validation. So they convince themselves that they truly don't know the answer. But here's the thing, when I ask them questions, they know. They can tell me exactly what they know they should do next. Or they tell me that the painting's actually finished. They've said everything that they wanted to say in that image. They don't have anything left to say. They're not aware that they're doing this. It is not at all that they are fishing for compliments. They've just been taught to believe that someone else outside of them has the quote unquote right answer. They don't trust that their own opinion is enough. They just don't trust it. So they say they don't know or that they need a second opinion just for learning purposes. That is a huge one. That one I hear a lot. They're like, yeah, I know, but like, it's just good to get somebody else's opinion. I just, you know, like maybe they'll see something and learn something. And this is where our brains are so clever because there's truth in there. Yeah. They might learn a few tidbits, but the bigger thing is they are also learning a harmful habit. They're reinforcing the idea that they can never be sure about their own painting, that they can't feel confident in their own decisions and their own choices in their painting without somebody else to validate them and tell them that that was a good idea, that that was a good choice. This reminds me of the story of a white tiger that Tara Brach wrote about. This tiger called Mohini lived at the Washington, D.C. National Zoo. This was like sometime in the, I don't know, late 50s, early 60s. And for many years, She was kept in the old line house, which was a typical 12 by 12 foot cage with iron bars and a cement floor. Mohini the tiger spent her days pacing restlessly back and forth in her cramped quarters. Eventually, biologists and staff worked together to create a natural habitat for her, and this habitat covered several acres. It had hills, it had trees, a pond, and a huge variety of vegetation. So they were super excited, and they had a lot of anticipation about this. So they released Mohini into her new and expansive environment, but it was too late. She immediately sought refuge in a corner of the compound where she basically lived for the remainder of her life. Mohini paced and paced in that corner until an area 12 by 12 feet was worn bare of grass. We humans do this with our own thinking. Even though we are fully capable and have access to information, because we believe that we don't know the answers and that somebody else does, somebody else knows better, we don't trust our capacity to figure it out for ourselves. So what we do is we continually reinforce the idea over and over and over again that the answer is outside of us. We train ourselves not to trust our own ideas or our intuition. And the saddest thing is, like, I hear so many artists so often tell me that they want to paint authentically, that they really wish that they had a voice in their painting. And you do, you have a voice. It's just that we think other people know something better, or they know something more than we do. So we try to follow the steps that someone else took, but their circumstances were probably totally different, or they're not starting from the same place. It's kind of like the equivalent of asking someone how they got to a gallery and they say, like, oh, yeah, I just drove 6 blocks west and then 2 blocks north, and then I hopped off the freeway and I got off at the second exit and I went for another 10 blocks and it was right there just after the gas station. So then you follow the directions and you end up at Kentucky Fried Chicken. You're like, wait, what? Not only is your starting point completely different, you're in a totally different city. So it might seem ridiculous when I explain it that way, but it's pretty much what ends up happening with a lot of artists who have this big audacious idea and they really want to get it out. Or with artists who are trying to guess at another artist, somebody that they admire, like their career path, or sometimes even how another artist constructs a painting. Add in here, this doesn't mean that you should never ask for another opinion on your art, or that you should never ask for help in whatever area that you feel that you need it. What I'm suggesting is, before you do that, be honest with yourself about why you're asking. Develop the habit of really, truly using all of the knowledge that you've worked so hard to get, all of that knowledge, to answer the question for yourself first. You might be surprised. You might find that you have the answer already. Or you might decide, you know what? I had this vision for my painting, and this is how I approached it. And now that I've taken it as far as I possibly can, now I want to get another artist's opinion. And because you've thought so deeply about it, you will have very specific questions. You will get so much out of that other person's brain by sharing with them your thought process and where you think you did well and where or what precisely you want another set of eyes to look at. So you demonstrate a higher level of thinking, you demonstrate a higher thought process, and you're demonstrating a respect for the craft when you have really deeply thought it through and been really thorough and objective, trying to troubleshoot without any of the drama about your value as an artist that often goes with getting stuck in a painting, right? So if you're an artist who kind of tosses the painting out and says things like, what do you think? Or posts it online and says, any feedback, welcome. I totally get it. We've all done it. I've done that so many times. But what I want for you all is to empower yourselves and elevate your thinking about your own art. I think a lot of artists like put out these really vague questions because they think they don't know what to ask. They think that other people have the answers. And sometimes it's because they're not comfortable showing the work. So even if they think it's done, even if they're posting a painting, they think that painting is done and they like it, they won't say it because what if someone sees something quote unquote wrong with it and they didn't see it? And so now they think that means they're dumb for thinking that the painting was finished. The problem here is not that an artist is uncomfortable posting the work. The problem is not that they're feeling unsure or they think that they don't know what to ask. The problem is that they don't trust themselves. They think the work isn't good enough. So even in the way that they ask for feedback, they're distancing themselves from the art. Okay? And it's never the skill level that's the true problem. The true problem is that we're blocking ourselves from improving the skill. I see this so often. Sometimes artists will just say, here's a painting, any feedback, welcome. And it has that flavor of, I'm staying away from this one until someone tells me it's okay. I don't truly believe in this painting, but I'm hoping it's good, but I don't know. So let me just throw it out there and see what happens. Please don't treat your work that way. Please do not be dismissive of your work. Be willing to stand up for and stand by your work, even if, and I would say especially if, you're nervous doing that. That is how you learn and grow into the artist that you're meant to be. Be willing to do the hard work of assessing your painting, using all of that knowledge that you have amassed over the time that you've been painting, all of that knowledge that you have earned so far. And if you see that there's something off in the painting, that just means that you have the knowledge that you need. Because if you didn't see it, if you didn't have that knowledge, you wouldn't even notice that something was off. So don't disrespect yourself by throwing your hands up in the air and saying, I don't know. I'm giving this problem up to somebody else. Let them figure it out. Okay? So again, listen, I totally understand the impulse to do this. I really, really do. But what I want to offer to you is that when you give into that impulse, you're doing yourself a huge disservice. You're telling yourself that you're not capable of figuring it out. You're telling yourself that being uncomfortable while you challenge yourself to create your vision is not worth doing. And that part right there is huge. And that's what I mean when I say that the problem is that you don't trust yourself. This is why being aware of what you're creating for yourself with your thinking is so important and why it is so worth it to do the hard work of managing your thought process. And yes, at first, it's going to feel really uncomfortable. That's just because you're not used to it. That discomfort is totally fine. Growth is uncomfortable by nature, and discomfort is the currency of growth. So when you allow that, you take full responsibility for your painting. And by taking full responsibility for your painting, you're empowering yourself to progress faster so that you can take your work even farther. You progress faster because when you force yourself to answer all the questions that you can about your own work, the gap that you have, that gap between what's in your head and what comes out on the canvas, which by the way, we all have, and by the way, is always going to be there, it gets shorter. And when you take full responsibility and you answer as many questions as you possibly can about your own work, using the knowledge that you've already worked so hard to get, you reinforce your understanding, you reinforce that knowledge, and you strengthen it. By answering your own questions with everything that you know, you have now honed it down to something very, very specific that's filtered through your voice, through your inner wisdom, through your own vision. And if you need to get help at that point, get it. But now you know specifically and precisely where you're not connecting the dots or what exact skill you need to work with. So you will be so much more discerning and more specific about who and what you ask. You won't just throw it up to 10 different painting groups hoping that the right person sees the painting and knows what you need. You won't give away your power to make decisions about your painting and ignore your vision by asking the masses, what do you think? Any feedback, welcome, This is your painting and your vision. Your job is to honor that and protect it. And as a bonus, because you've done that hard work ahead of time, the person that you do end up asking will be able to focus their brain power, their all of their knowledge, their own painting experience on the actual thing that you need help with. They won't have to waste their time trying to figure out what your vision is and what you actually need help with. So they're not going to look at it and give you an opinion and have you say like, oh yeah, that's what I thought too. The answers that they give you will be much more direct, much more helpful. You're respecting their knowledge and their time by really thinking through your question ahead of time and eliminating all the fluff. Okay, so I know that I just talked about that a lot, but I really wanted to dig into it because I think that it's overlooked. We truly don't realize how big the impact of that is. So I wanted to give that a really thorough amount of attention. So I said we were going to touch on three things. Here's number two. Okay, so number one, in case you lost track, number one is not trusting in your own capacity, not trusting in your own abilities, right? Not having that self-confidence. When we don't have full confidence, the other thing that we do is we're not willing to share yourself. And I think this one is really important because it prevents you from accessing your truth. It prevents you from accessing that deeper part of you that is real and true, also known as your voice. So you all know I love a really good quote. So I have two that for me really, really speak to this idea, right? That when you are not fully confident in yourself, we tend to make these mistakes. Okay, so the first quote, the first is from the great Mary Oliver. And that's this simple question. What is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? That one really hits me in the gut. Our time here is so precious and so beautiful, even with all of the chaos and the uncertainty and the strife. I think it's because of all of that, because of all the chaos, the uncertainty, the cruelty, the pain, and the suffering that we humans create for each other that make Mary Oliver's work even more important. Her words are even more pertinent because she could easily have thought, oh, but poetry doesn't matter. Nobody reads poetry anymore. Nobody cares what I have to say. But I do. I care. Mary Oliver's poetry matters to me, and she will probably never, ever, ever know that. So there's the fact that she dared to create, that she kept working through the okay poetry into the pretty good poetry, into the poetry that moves us, the poetry that I think at least reflects the truth of what it means to be a human being in this world. That's what great art does. And then there's her question, her invitation to all of us. What is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Thank you, dear Mary, for inviting each of us to answer that question every day of this wild and precious life. I don't know about you, but I'm going to live it out loud. I'm going to keep creating, even if I never know the impact. I'm going to keep pushing, keep evolving, keep growing and becoming until my very last breath. And the second quote that I like to pair with that one, I kind of think of it like pairing a nice wine. The second quote that I like to pair with that is this one from Marianne Williamson. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You're a child of God. Your playing small doesn't serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. As we're liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. I love that quote. Whether you attribute the fact that you are here to God, the universe, or any other word or concept, the fact that you are here means that you are worthy and you are capable and deeply loved. Please don't spend your wild and precious life playing small or believing anything else. When you show up in your art and in your life from that truth inside of you, you enable everyone around you to do the same. You become a light in this dark world. Yeah, we are getting deep now, aren't we, huh? But I want you to think about that in the context of your work. Where are you playing small? Where are you minimizing your ideas, not giving them space and time to grow? Where are you staying small, clinging to what's comfortable and shrinking instead of expanding and innovating? Yes, you're right. You might not be able to do it the first or the second or even the third time, but if you do it the fourth time, who the hell cares about the first three attempts? Nobody. I think painting is a spiritual practice because it requires so much faith, and we have to put that faith into something that we're not used to putting it on. We have to put it on ourselves. I don't know about you, but I'm willing to go all in on that. So I said there were three things. The last one, I'm just going to touch on. I'm just going to barely tap on it. Also very, very common, but I think most artists are much more aware of it. When you don't have full confidence, you don't share your work. And I think that's a tragedy. I really, really do. But I also think that when you take care of that last piece that I just talked about, when you start sharing yourself, and when you put yourself, your vision, your deep knowledge into your work, when you tap into that true, authentic voice of yours, the sharing of your work just comes naturally. That's what I have for you today. Have a wonderful week, everybody. We'll talk soon.